I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
I have some ingenious things other countries have that make the U.S. feel like we're living back in the 1800s.
All right.
I'm blown away by some of these. I shared one with you not long ago here on the show. But in Aruba, they have a machine that puts on your sunscreen for you. It just rotates around you and sprays the sunscreen on you everywhere, and it looks like this.
I can't see that on the radio.
Yeah.
Could they have that here? Because I could see people in Myrtle Beach taking a bathroom break in that.
They could. They possibly could, yeah.
That looks like a spray tan
It kind of does. But they have this at the beach and stuff, and then you spray the suntan lotion on you.
I saw that in Japan. They make the parking lots so that the cars all back in, and there's a space between them, and that's where you walk instead of walking down the middle of the place where everyone's driving.
See, that would be nice.
That's pretty clever.
You know what? Speaking of that, when there was another one in here, they have like in parking garages, these dividers, and I think that is in Japan or somewhere. But that way you don't get a car dent your door because you got these little dividers.
It's like they hang a pool noodle down between the two cars.
Uh-huh. Pool noodle and a little badminton net.
And that would help people park correctly because I get sick and tired of people parking over the line. And I had somebody park beside me the other day, and I'm in the line. They parked so close, I couldn't even get in my car door.
Yeah, I've been there before. I'm like, how did they get out? That's what you're thinking.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, you hit my car.
That's when I miss having a key on my ring.
Okay, now, and Cato, you hate going to use bathroom in public. This is, that's one of the worst parts about, and like when you do go use a public restroom, the noises that you make. But in Japan, they have, to help you mask the sound, these little buttons that you push and it starts playing music from your stall.
See,
is that not great?
I think every bathroom should have loud music playing.
Yeah.
or the ocean sound or something to drown out the noise.
It needs to be a rave party.
Yeah.
That and Febreze. You know, have a little button for the Febreze.
Oh, yeah.
Spray that.
Charge a quarter for each one of them.
All right.
Make a fortune.
These are things that other countries have that we don't. Meat that you buy in Norway comes with a little measurer that tells you how many days are left before it goes bad. You know, a lot of times they say expire, you've got an expiration date. But this has got a little bitty thermometer-looking thing right there. It's like, your meat is bad.
That one doesn't matter to me. Yeah. I mean, you can already just do the math from like, okay, today is the 30th, and it says it expires on the 30th, so I'm not going to eat it.
Another ingenious idea in Japan, they have air showers. Now, this is for people who have like allergies and pollen and stuff. It gets all over you during those months. Sometimes you walk around, you got like a little yellow dust on your clothes. So you get in there and it just blows it all off. So you won't be sniffing out in public.
Oh,
okay.
That sounds stupid.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean,
I never heard of anyone coming in going, I'm yellow because of the pollen.
But you know, it gets all over you.
Well, if you get caught in the rain, it's a quick dry. I don't know.
That might be useful.
Yeah. I like that better.
So in Poland, they have a section of the sidewalk specifically for people looking at their cell phones. And it looks like that. You got to walk right there in a little...
How would they even know where their spot was?
You know, like the diamond... Diamond streets they have like in Atlanta where you have two people in a car when you're carpooling. It's the same thing. It's got a little dot line there.
Look, it's right next to the bike lane.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I'd walk into a bike.
All right. In Russia, the entire red light or green light poles turn the same color as the light. So it's
that's cool.
You're at night, you got like a completely red pole for stopping and not just looking for a little dot up in the sky.
That's pretty clever.
That is. I like that.
Okay. If you're in Croatia and you look at your cell phone and the battery's at 8%, you're like, oh, no, what am I going to do? I'm going to be out all night. They have these benches with Wi-Fi and also chargers that you set your phone on and you can sit on as well.
I don't want my butt getting charged.
I need a good charging.
My butt's at 8% right now. I need to rest and recharge my butt
as
well.
I'm tired.
Okay, in a restaurant in Finland, you can get the server's attention by these lights that they have. Like it turns on the light to get the server's attention. so you don't have to raise your hand and go, hey, buddy, hey, can you fill up my drink here?
I think they would just learn how to ignore that just like they do when they walk by you and see you're low on Coke or something. Yeah. I will say that something I saw that was neat at Yard House the other day, Cato and I actually ended up at the same place.
Yeah, it was odd.
And they don't use those they don't use those things that vibrate when it's your time to go to the table anymore. That's a whole business that just disappeared overnight because of cell phones.
They don't have a little thing that you put in your pocket.
Now they just get your cell and text you.
Oh, that's true.
So y'all were waiting for a table.
Yeah.
I walked right in.
You went to the bar.
Yeah, that's true. I did sit at the bar.
I always enjoyed that, putting that in my back pocket and get a little buzz back there. You know?
You can do that with your phone if you want.
Well, I guess I could turn it on vibrate.
Well, I like the phone because there's some restaurant downtown, and we put our name in, and they're like, we'll text you. We walked down the street and had a beer at another bar and went.
You didn't have to carry that thing and stay within range.
Yes, exactly.
All right. These are ingenious things other countries have. In Turkey, a restaurant that automatically shows you how easily to split the bill up if you are, you know, you don't have to do math. It's like you got a whole group of people there.
And God forbid you get your calculator out.
Well, you know, you got the smart guy there. Like, let him figure out the bill for you. And before you know it, it's kind of like when you're playing poker and you got one guy that can kind of split the pot, you know, correctly, very fast. And do you really trust that person to split the bill for you?
How about the person who says, we'll just split it evenly down the middle. I had six wings. You had a prime rib.
And the appetizer. I didn't eat any of the appetizers, so that don't count. Yes.
Yeah.
And then finally in Japan, you're in an elevator. You got to go use a restroom.
What?
They have toilets in their elevators for emergency situations. Let's say you're stuck on the elevator.
That is so rare.
Wouldn't you hate to wait for an elevator to take you up, and it opens up, and there's grandma sitting there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a pass.
Is that really a toilet? Is that a trash can?
No, it's a toilet. It says right there, Japan has emergency toilets and elevators.
I mean, that just seems like such a unlikely scenario.
Yes. No curtain? It's just sitting there in the corner?
It's never happened to me in my life.
Okay. Well, people have done something on elevators, though.
Yeah, I don't know if they would have used a toilet anyway.
They needed a toilet in there at the time is all I'm saying.
I mean, unless you got 100-floor elevators, how hard is it just to get off?
And that is rude when you do that on an elevator, just saying. And not saying anything, and then you're trying to guess who did it.
Well, that's always the fun. It's like a mystery.
Are we talking about the same thing?
It's mystery theater. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's a toilet. I mean, I don't think it's...
I'm talking about passing gas.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, my vote was for Croatia. I don't know.
Which one was Croatia?
With the lights.
Yeah. Was it Russia or Croatia?
Croatia.
Okay.
Because I looked it up. Croatia is safe to visit, so maybe... Maybe I'll check out the lights in person.
But the elevator isn't. Just saying.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
There are a lot of things going on out there in nerd news.
And it's time for that segment on our show.
Nerd news with Tom. Yeah.
Covering the most important news for your brain this morning, which means it might not be too well received in here. But this is the first thing we're going to start off with. It has to do with laughing. We still don't know why we can't tickle ourselves.
It is weird, man. I've tried several times.
Researchers in the Netherlands just did a deep dive on this.
I don't get why God's picking on us like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to tickle myself.
Every once in a while, I might get you and put you in a good mood.
I'd rather do it than someone else.
I got to say, when someone else tickles you, especially, you know, you think about... when you were younger and stuff, it was miserable. I'm like, someone sitting on you tickling you. And I know some couples flirt that way. Like, I'm going to tickle you. And they chase each other around the house. And they finally tackle each other and they're tickling each other.
Well, here's the interesting thing. Scientists also still cannot explain why certain body parts like armpits and feet are more ticklish than others, even after a century of research. But your brain automatically cancels out tickling sensations when you do it yourself.
I'm trying to right now.
They say it has to do with prediction. Because you can't predict the movements of another person, then your body reacts to it. But whenever you know it's coming, then your body ignores it.
I hate it when someone gooses you, you know, in the ribs, on the side, and you don't know it.
I don't think that's what goose means.
That's what I understood.
I thought it was on your butt when you got goosed.
No, what? That is something else. Like, what are you? Where are you putting it?
I'm not. I've had it done to me.
Well, prostate fun there.
It
You're
wasn't
good.
My prostate. It was just my cheeks. Yeah. You're a sick person.
No, that's tweaking you. You tweak with a little butt pinch or whatever. That's a tweaker, and then you got.
I loved how you raised your pinky when you said that.
It's
a poke.
Oh, Tom's right.
Is it? So I thought goosing you was like doing that to your ribs or whatever.
It's slang for to poke someone playfully between the buttocks.
Really?
Often to startle them.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, moving on to odors.
Why'd they pick that animal?
I don't know.
A study found perfume, cologne, and scented lotions disrupt the natural cloud of chemicals that surround our body. It's called your human oxidation field. And it's like a natural force field of chemicals. They're not sure what the effects are with messing this, but we've been messing with it for a while wearing mm-hmm. cologne and perfume.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So apparently, whatever it is, it's not causing us to have cancer early or any other problems like that.
Yeah, but you got your natural scent that you have.
And that was the human oxidation field.
Yeah, and that's what I was talking about, you know, because I remember, I'll never forget, when I went off to college, my mom came to my house and she walked in for that first time. She's like, oh, you've got your own smell, dear.
But that wasn't your human body smell. That was your house smell.
I know. I'm like, but we have those things that are just natural. Like if I walk into your house, it smells pretty good most of the time.
Not always natural smell either.
Right.
It could be air freshener.
That's exactly what ours is. It's those little pots of the melted wax.
Yeah.
Smell good, though. It smells like cookies or bacon and
stuff. I got
stuff.
Friends, you walk in their house and you swear they've been to Jamaica.
Oh.
I mean, and I'm like, it's their scent now. Every time you walk in, that's what you smell.
Okay. It's the smell of hemp. In bug news, two of the most destructive types of termites, have started mating in South Florida, creating a super termite.
Great.
That's not good.
No.
But there's not much we can do about it, except they are working on insecticides to try to kill these termites.
Here's my question. Did they do that on their own, or was a scientist trying to figure out to make the super termite?
No, it was jungle fever. They had, like, this one of the termites wanted to get with the other kind of termite.
Oh, so it just happened naturally out in the wild.
Yes.
The Romeo and Juliet of termites, I suppose.
Right, the opposites and stuff.
Yeah.
In bird news, a study found that hummingbirds have evolved to have thinner, longer beaks. Guess why? No, it's the hummingbird feeders that people put out.
Oh.
They have a longer section to get the nose in, and the hummingbirds have actually evolved to take advantage of them better.
Well, who started that? I mean, I always thought they had the little beaks.
The hummingbird feeders are deeper, so now their beaks are growing longer and deeper.
Oh. Or they could be Pinocchio and just lying. That's a Pinocchio bird.
Well, they say these hummingbird feeders got popular after World War II, so it's taken less than a century for these hummingbirds to evolve longer beaks because of that. That's fast.
Yeah, I love hummingbirds. I got hummingbird feeders at my house. They are messy. Yeah,
you have
I love
to be careful what you put in them. If you just put sugar water in them, it kills them.
Uh-uh.
It gives them a
fungus on their tongue and they
you
die.
You have to clean it.
If you read about it, just sugar water alone is bad for them.
That's Google what they it. Tell you to put in the feeders.
Yeah, they're killing those birds.
Well, what are you supposed to put in?
I'll have to look it up. I forgot.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. No.
All right. I put
Coke in there sometimes.
Fireball.
Yeah. Is it Friday? It's Friday. I got to put a different feeder out for them because they want a party tonight.
Happy hour feeder. Finally, in space news, SpaceX exploded another rocket, or as they call it, rapid, unexpected, or unplanned disassembly. I think that's their terminology. Astronomers found a perfect sphere in deep space that's invisible but blasting out X-rays, and no one knows what it is. And a study found Uranus looks a lot different than it did 20 years ago.
Give me a mirror.
I'm pretty sure I already knew. They say the structure has changed and it's gotten paler. That's your nerd news for this Friday.
Nerd news with Tom. Yeah.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
We just wrapped up the spelling bee, and I know, Tom, you were watching some of the video this morning. And it was a word that wasn't even an English word.
It was French.
Yeah.
How do you have a French word in the United States spelling bee?
Those kids are super smart, though.
Well, they memorized.
But still, I'm like, I couldn't spell half the words they spell.
You know, they are teachers' pets.
You think so?
You know, I actually read up on it. They said the reason a lot of these kids win is because that their parents study with them, and they actually will do like 30 words a night for 6 months before this contest.
It's not worth it.
I mean, no kid, you got to spend that much time with your dad. Well,
you know, so we had fun with some of the hardest words to spell because I couldn't spell hardly any of
them. That wasn't fun.
It wasn't. I have another topic for us. Most hard pronounced words in the English language for people.
Okay.
Okay, so these are some of the hardest words to pronounce in the English language. We've talked about a couple of them before, in like Worcestershire sauce.
Oh,
Worcestershire sister sauce.
Okay.
What's yours, Stacey?
It's the dog, the wormer.
Weimaraner?
Yes. I call it a wormer.
Well, okay. Dachshund is also one.
Okay.
You just wanted to show off.
No, I don't even think I said it right.
Tom says Dachshund. Like but it is German, but we say wiener dog. We have discovered that here on the show. We've talked about February. Not only was that on a list of hard to spell, but it's also hard to pronounce. February.
Oh, yeah.
February.
Library.
Library was also mentioned. So that's another hard one for just, you know, us locals.
I don't have trouble with library, but I had a friend who said library all the time growing up.
One I always had trouble with, I've talked about, Massachusetts.
And Massachusetts is not hard to say.
It is for me. Massachusetts. Choo-choo. I didn't think about a train. Okay. Phenomenon.
You just said it.
Phenomenon.
Da.
I don't have trouble with that one. But there's some that I do. The way the word is, I'll have to redo it.
I don't think I've ever used that word in my vocabulary, other than talking about the word.
Okay.
You never said like, oh, that earthquake is a natural phenomenon.
Never. I'm like, that's just crazy is what it is.
Okay. You switch the word up.
I mean, it just don't come to mind to use that word.
Another hard to pronounce word is rural.
Rural.
It's a rural area.
Rural.
Rural.
Do you have trouble with that, Stacey?
No, I'm just watching Hawk trying to roll his R whenever.
I know, right? It's almost uncomfortable.
Don't make fun of my disability.
It is a disability.
I never use that word.
Okay.
I just say the country.
Okay.
It's out in the country.
Do you have trouble with that word?
No, I just don't think about ever using it. I guess I simplify my words.
You know, it is easy when we can limit our vocabulary because there's a bunch of words. Like the other day I was doing there's serendipity and then there's loquacious. And I'm like, why can't we just say, hey, you know, you talk a lot.
I went to school with both of those girls.
Their last name was Williams. Okay, now this is one. I'll let Tom do this one. This is one of the longest words that people know. Ready?
Which one is it?
That one right there.
Oh, anti-disestablishmentarianism.
That's a long one.
Yeah, it's not one you use
in
a sentence.
You don't use it a lot.
I didn't even know it was a word.
I know. Here's one for you. Asterisk.
You said it right.
Okay. But if you get going fast on that, I mean, you know, you can get in trouble.
When would you ever use that word?
Well, there's an asterisk at the end of the sentence, except for I'm stumbling now. That's the little thing that goes at the
bottom.
Well, you'd be like, hey, you know, did you read the stuff after the asterisk? Because
did you read the small print?
They were like, what is this symbol? I don't know. Just called in asterisk. And then nobody talks about it.
It ends with the word risk. Asterisk.
Yeah. All right.
Risk.
Another hard-pronounced word for folks, Calvary.
Okay, you said it right.
Yep, I did.
It's in church songs.
There's Calvary, and then there's Calvary, and then Cavalry.
Yeah, Cavalry. Some people say it like that. Here's another one for you with an E. It's brewery. A lot of people have trouble with that one.
You do.
I'm going to go to the brewery.
Yeah, that was right.
Brewery.
I'm going to the bar.
Yes.
The bar is not a brewery, though. A brewery actually brews the stuff.
Okay. Defibrillator.
You said it right.
Defibrillator.
Maybe not.
Defibrillator. But a lot of people say defibrillator instead of defibrillator.
defibrillator.
Get the shocks. Get the shocks.
Uh-huh. That is pretty rotten to name a life-saving device in a way that's hard to say fast.
Don't they just say defib? Or
yeah, they can say defib.
Get those shocky things over there. Ed's about to die.
Get the paddles.
Deteriorate.
That one's pretty easy, and you nailed it.
It's easy for
you. You just nailed it.
I know, but I'm not going to have trouble with every one of these words.
Well, that's a complicated word, and you didn't have any trouble. But I don't think deteriorate's that hard.
This is a list of what people have said that's hard
for
them to pronounce.
You're arguing with me, and I told you you got it right. My God.
I don't feel comfortable. Comfortable.
Oh, dear God.
Comfortable is another one that they mentioned.
Is it comfortable or comfortable?
Comfortable.
It's an A-B-L-E at the end.
Comfortable. I'm good.
Okay. Exponentially is one that they say it's hard.
That's wrong. Exponentially.
Yeah. All right. I said that one wrong.
If you teach her like this.
Did that make you happy, Tom? I got one wrong.
No, I was trying to compliment you for getting one right and you couldn't handle it.
Okay. Hard to pronounce words is colonel because of the way it's spelled.
Yeah, it's spelled colonel.
Yeah, it's spelled colonel like or colonel. That's sorry. But that one would always throw you off in school.
Yeah.
Colonial. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is weird because there's no R in this word.
And then charcuterie board. It's like fancy. It's what that is. It's a fancy Lunchable is what that is.
On a cutting board.
Yeah, on a fancy board there.
You know what? I had never heard that word.
Charcuterie?
It's been years ago. I was sitting at a restaurant with friends and they ordered that. I'm like, what did you just order?
I know.
What comes on that?
It's charcuterie.
Yeah. How do you cook that?
Yeah. I'm like, how did you even know that word?
What part of the animal is that?
Yeah.
It's not an animal. It's a board.
It's good.
Yeah, it is. It is. Hey, we ain't the only ones that have trouble with saying words. Our buddy Nate Bergazzi.
Nate
Bergazzi.
His last name is hard for you.
It is. It's always hard because...
Bergazzi.
Yeah, it is.
It's actually Gatsy. It's spelled Getzy, but it's pronounced Gatsy.
I just say my friend Nate.
It's spelled with an A, but you say Bergazzi.
Okay, well, I knew it was the opposite.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, you got one wrong too, Tom. Anyway, he has trouble with words as well. This is him for your Core After Laughter.
Oil. I say oil. Super Southern one. Oil. I don't even know how to say it, like how to y'all. Oil, O-I-L. Yeah. I go motor oil, like tinfoil. I mean, Southern Community College, that should be mandatory that they fix that. They should write O-I-L on the board. And I just go, oil. They go, all right, we're going to take care of that, all right? There's a pretty good chance you're going to be working with a lot of that. Silver War. That's how I say it. Instead of civil, I go Silver War. You know, look, that might be on me, all right? I'm not. I tell you, I don't even know anything about the Silver War.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Well, our cat chat conversations have gone up 19% since Stacy's been here on the show because she has 7 cats, y'all.
You said 19%?
Yeah.
I think it's higher than that.
You think?
We didn't hardly talk about cats ever before.
Well, we should today because it's International Hug Your Cat Day.
That sounds like a recipe for getting hurt.
You got a lot of hugging to do, don't
you?
I
do. I'm going to get at least 7 hugs today. So excited.
How many scratches?
Probably that times 49.
Wow.
So go ahead and hug your cat today. I have some cat information here. Kind of interesting. I'm curious about how you do it at home because your litter box got to be full with 7 cats.
Well, do remember that 4 of them just go outside most of the time.
Oh, that's good.
They hang out inside sometimes.
It's just like a hawk.
Yeah, I do. I go outside in the backyard sometimes.
Mostly it's just 3 cats inside that are using the boxes.
Okay. 54% of cat owners are concerned about their cat's litter boxes is what they say.
Well, what are they concerned about?
I guess that they smell funky and they get all nasty and junky, but men are more concerned about it than women are. So the guys, they drives them nuts. And the girls, they don't care.
That's not true. That is not true information.
Okay.
Because I tell you what, John doesn't even know we have litter boxes in the house.
But did you bring the cats in or did he?
I did.
Okay.
oh, we're going to go this way now?
Yes, we are.
It's all my fault. Hey, listen, I'm responsible. I have to take care of everything.
Yeah, I do that with my kids. I'm like, these are your fault, man. I didn't do that.
I could see Stacy going, John, just one cat. Okay, John, it's just going to be two cats. Okay, yeah. Three, they uh-huh. need a sister.
That's kind of like how it went.
That's kind of what my wife did with the dogs, too. She kept bringing dogs in, and I would always tell her, no more. And then she would get one that was cute enough, I'd finally be like, okay, we can have that one.
You know what, though? You should have said when she was bringing them in, go, bad girl. Bad girl.
Hit her with the paper rolled up.
Yeah. But 65% of cat owners say that they don't clean their litter box as much as they should.
That's very important to do, let me tell you.
I hate the smell of a litter box. It's a big turnoff, like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, don't put your nose in it.
I don't. Okay. I'm like, a lot of people put it like right beside the door. You go in there and it's like, ew.
I love the people who put it by the laundry room. I'm like, really? But here's the thing. They make those robotic ones now.
Yes, Tom, if we're all millionaires and we have $1,000 to
spend on it. Oh, they don't cost that much, do they?
They're between $500 and $1,000.
Well, I don't have cats. I didn't know that. I just saw them advertised, and I'm like, that's the way to go.
Is it like construction equipment and it just comes and just kind of rakes it over to the side?
There's some that do that, but then there's some that it's like, I don't know, you get in there, and then once the cat jumps out, the thing rotates,
right.
And there's air fresheners, and I don't know, all kinds of stuff going on.
That's pretty cool.
It is cool. You ought to hop in and try it. Tell me how it is.
No, I'm good.
It looks a little small, but I would. I mean, you should start a GoFundMe. I'd throw a few bucks towards your new cat robot thing.
And honestly, have a kid or two and make that their chore. Like, kidding out.
Don't fall for that one.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah, clean out the automatic kitty litter box.
All right.
Okay.
Now, as
He's
a cat.
Not bright. I'm sorry. I thought you knew.
Honestly, I'm like, my kids would clean it out. Like, it wasn't
the
a chore.
The automatic kitty litter box? That's what she's making fun of you for?
That's what I said. I said, oh, yeah, tell your kid to clean out the automatic cleaning litter box. And they'd be like, yeah, I'll do it.
Don't go there.
He did. She did.
But I understood. He was talking about a regular litter box.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about robotic
because
ones over here.
She can't afford one.
I know. She said that.
All right, so owning a cat, you got a ton of problems, of course. That's what the owners say. These are the problems that they face. Scratching furniture. All kinds of your furniture's all scratched up. And unfortunately, the sofa becomes a victim of like a murderer scene.
And you might as well just keep it until the cats are gone. Because, like, if you buy a new one, it's unless you put books. I saw this really... I should really be doing this topic, you know.
No?
They put bookshelves around the back of a couch and on the side of the couch. So, I mean, that saves the couch.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good idea.
You just gotta climb over them to get on the thing.
Well, no, because you don't, unless you're Dukes of Hazzard and hop over the back of the couch to sit on
don't
it.
Don't they tear up the front of it then?
And the cushions and the back of the cushions and...
I was just focusing on the back and the sides of it.
Okay. So that becomes a problem because they scratch all up. Also, shedding with cat fur all over the place, that's on the couch too.
Vacuum and Swiffer, that is like every other day.
Wow.
Oh, yes. That would be so torturous.
Here's the thing. I like to vacuum. That is one of the favorite house chores, so it's okay.
Oh, I'm having you over.
Me too.
But you know what you hate when someone's got a cat and you go over and you sit on their couch and then all of a sudden you got cat fur all over you?
It's embarrassing.
Okay.
You get used to it. I got friends with dogs that shed, and I don't have a dog. But it doesn't bother me. I get in their car and there's hair all in the seat. I just sit down.
I was out at a friend's office one day, and I was wearing navy blue pants, and I was just... We were chatting up, and she looks over, and she's like, here, she goes, well, why don't you use this? And it was one of those rollers, because apparently I had cat hair all over my butt,
oh, no.
And she was getting nauseous looking at it, so she's like, here, let me help you out.
Yes. Another issue that cat owners have, they say anxiety and stress from cats. They can get very anxious, and I had a cat before, brought my first son home, And it started doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I had to put it on anxiety medicine, like Prozac, Catzac, or whatever it was.
A lot of people go on anxiety medicine after they have a kid.
Okay, well, that's true. But the cat was so, it would like throw up all over the place. It was using the bathroom all over the place.
You didn't like your kid.
Yeah, I know. And it was so weird. And I was debating, which one do I get rid of? Because my son was doing the same thing, throwing up.
I don't know. Yeah. Seniority. Yeah, cat seniority.
But that's just some of the struggles you cat owners go through. But you know what? Embrace that cat today. Give it a big old hug.
Hairball!
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.